This is the last Sunday of our spring program, so I should have preached this message 6 weeks ago, but we're getting around to it, and so here we go. We're looking at 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, and 6 weeks, a spring program. And why do you have a spring program? Well, it's a time of reviewing our position. Where are we? Look at it. Where are we? Where should we be? Reviewing our position, resetting our priorities. Push that reset button. Why are we here? What are we supposed to be doing? And then renewing our potential. Renewing our potential. God has something for us. And let's get everything that God has. So it is reviewing our position. You got a little place on the back of your bulletin to keep notes now. Reviewing our position, resetting our priorities, and renewing our potential. That's 3 points. Let's pray and we'll go home. Just kidding. All right. Now, we begin our subject here. Planting and watering. You know, spring is a natural time to grow a garden. Spring is a natural time to grow a crop. The world has just got out of its ice and snow and everything being cold, and those cold mornings and frost on your car and snow. And so as we think about growing a crop in the springtime, I want you to think about spiritually the application. Let's look at 5 areas, and this is a spiritual application of planting and watering. So we read the verses. Let me give you the first one. Number one, the reason for planting and watering. The reason for planting and watering. And we find this here in verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 6. I have planted. Apollos watered. Paul's talking. So he says, Paul planted. I planted. Apollos watered. But God gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. What is the reason for planting and watering? The reason in the spiritual sense for planting and watering is this. God is looking for an increase. God is looking for an increase in our life personally. God is looking for us to grow. God is looking for us to spiritually be more mature than we have been. God is looking for progress. God is looking for us to see other people mature in Christ. God is looking for an increase. Can I say this? God can't increase nothing. If we come to God and say, God, I want you to increase something in my life. We've never planted anything for God. We've never watered anything for God. God can't increase it. If you have a plot of ground and you go out there and you say, okay, I have a garden here and there's no seed ever planted in that ground, you are going to have weeds. It's amazing how weeds, you know, it's like 3 bazillion weeds per cubic foot of soil, and it just naturally comes all by itself and it chokes out anything that is good and would be there and would produce a crop. So God can't increase nothing. Nothing planted, nothing produced. Think about that. So God is looking for an increase. God's looking for what? Increase. If nothing's planted, nothing can increase. Nothing is produced. I can get mad at the ground and I can go out there and yell at it. And my neighbors will think I'm crazy. He's finally lost his mind. Well, they knew that a long time ago. I can get upset. But if I don't plant anything, nothing grows. If nothing is watered, it dies. If you take that plant over there and you just let it sit there and you never water it, it is going to be crunchy. It is not going to live. It will die. It has to have water. Look, if you would, at Luke chapter 13. We'll come back here, put a marker in here. Luke chapter number 13. In Luke chapter 13, Jesus is with his disciples. And they go here and they see some crops. And that's what we're talking about. Luke chapter number 13, verse number 6. He spake also this parable. A certain man had a fig tree planted in his vineyard, and he came and sought fruit thereon, and found none. Then saith he unto the dresser of his vineyard, Behold, these 3 years I come seeking fruit on this fig tree, and find none. Cut it down. Now here's the question. Why cumbereth it the ground? And he answered and said unto him, Lord, let it alone this year also, till I shall dig about it and dung it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that thou shalt what? Cut it down. So the man who owns the vineyard, he has a fig tree in his vineyard, and when he comes to it, what's he looking for? figs. He's not looking for leaves. Leaves are important. Remember, Jesus came to a fig tree and had leaves. Leaves only. It should have been producing a crop. It should have been producing fruit. And he said, hey, listen, we've just got leaves on here. There's nothing but leaves, but you can't eat leaves. You can't make anything good out of leaves. Well, Adam and Eve tried that, didn't they? Didn't work. And so he said, I'm looking for fruit. And so he said, why cumbereth it the ground? Why is it taking up space? Why is it wasting real estate in the vineyard and it's not producing a fruit? I need it to produce fruit. You know, there are some Christians that are just like that fig tree. We cumber the ground. We're taking up space. We're taking real estate. We're wasting God's good investment in this life. Many Christians today, God needs us to produce fruit, and all we're doing is pushing out a bunch of leaves. Oh, look at all the leaves. Look at all the activity. Look at all the, you know, the wind blows and there's a whole lot of, action that happens, but there's no fruit. There's a lot of bluster. There's a lot of activity, but there's nothing that's eternal. And the Lord Jesus Christ comes to our life and he says, you're cumbering the ground. You're filling up real estate that could be a tree that would produce something that is fruitful, produce something that is profitable, produce something that will feed somebody, produce something that will give an increase. You're wasting my time. How'd you like to have that said by Jesus of you? You're wasting my time. You're wasting energy. You're wasting some good water that could go to a fig tree that produces figs. You're wasting some good fertilizer that we could use to produce a crop that feeds somebody. You're wasting some space. You know, you only have a limited amount of space in a vineyard. You're wasting some space that a profitable, productive fruit tree could be using. And instead, you're here cumbering the ground. Boy, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to be a waste in God's economy. We've only, you know, life is so short. Life is so short. And every day is one less day that we have to serve the Lord. And we never get it back again. We are to produce fruit. You know, the Bible says this. In 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now all these things happen unto them for examples. And they are written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. These stories that are in the Bible are for our admonition. Jesus didn't just put a story in here because he had to write a term paper. It's going to be 300 words, type, double space, and so yada, 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 yada. What else can I think that means absolutely nothing? And just put it in here just to get a grade, right? He didn't do that. He gave us a story about a fig tree that was producing no fruit, and he said, you know what? It cumbereth the ground. Cut it down. Now, thank God somebody asked for mercy. Hey, give it some more time. He answered and said, Lord, let it alone this year also till I shall dig about it. Something's got to happen. We've got to shock the root system. That's what you do. You dig about it. You chop the roots off underneath there and you shock that tree and dung it, fertilize it. And if it bear fruit, well, and if not, then after that, thou shalt cut it down. Hey, I wonder how many Christians have gone to heaven prematurely because the Lord cut them down. Look, if we won't get busy serving God, God says, I'll find somebody who will. You want to cumber the ground? I'll clear out that corner of the garden and I'll put a tree in there that's going to produce fruit. You want to waste space? I'll find somebody who's going to produce for me. I'll just leave you alone and I'll go find somebody else who wants to get busy for God. That's what the Bible says, for our admonition. The story of a tree is here so we can produce fruit. He still asks today, why cumbereth it the ground? You're in Luke, look at chapter 8. God is looking for an increase. Luke chapter number 8. We have been given the seed. Luke chapter number 8. We don't have to make it up. It's not ours. We have nothing to do with it. All we do is two things. What's the first thing? Paul said, I have planted. What's the second thing? Watered. All we do is we plant and we water. Who gives the increase? God. Hey, can I tell you something? Seeds are kind of ugly. You know, you get those seeds. I get these seeds. They're like Swiss chard. They look like, I don't know, they look like a wrinkled little deal. I don't know. They look like a, I don't know, the core of a marble or something. It's just like, really? There's something's got. Look, those flowers, those beautiful flowers that, you know, that we got, right? The flower seeds are kind of very unattractive. They're dark sometimes. They're just, you know, wrinkled. They're sometimes they smell, right? Little sprouts come out. And you plant that thing and a beautiful flower comes out. Well, how did that happen? God gave the increase. Luke chapter 8, verse number 11. Now the parable is this. The seed is what? The Word of God. So we are to plant the Word of God. We're to plant the Word of God in our heart. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. We are to plant the Word of God in other people's hearts. Our nation needs the Word of God today. Our community needs the Word of God today. It's the one thing you can't have. You can bring, look, I've never seen a display at the library about the Bible. I've seen smut, I've seen wickedness, I've seen, you know, just, you can't even, I mean, just, homosexuality, lesbianism, you know, everything. Never the Bible. It's the one thing you can't have. You can bring all kinds of, you know, corruption to school, but you can't bring the Bible. Oh, boy, that'll get you in trouble. You know, somebody, just to be a rebel, somebody else just bring a Bible, see what happens, right? You want to be a rebel? Bring the Bible. I mean, it's coming around now where it's a novelty. The seed is the Word of God. We have been given the seed. God requires what He gives. Look at Luke chapter 12. The reason for planting and watering is God is looking for an increase. The Bible says we've been given the seed already. The seed is the Word of God. And God requires what He gives. Luke 12, verse 48. But he that knew not and did commit things worthy of stripes shall be beaten with few stripes. For unto whomsoever much is given, of him should be much required. And to whom men have committed much, of him they will ask the more. We have been given much. We've been given the Word of God. We've been given, look, I have the Word of God here. I've got 17 copies of it in my office. I've got a copy in my glove box in my car. I've got one on my phone. I've got Bibles. I mean, Bibles everywhere. We've been given much. We've been given a whole lot. We have the ability to read. Some of you speak 2 languages, 3 languages. It's incredible, isn't it? We have been given much. We have technology. We have been given more than any generation, period. We are going to be required more than any generation. Too much is given, there should be much required. I have the ability to talk to somebody clear across the world. Christmas Evans, you know, riding a horse and walking. He did much with one eye. He did much. We can talk to people around the world. We can you know, reach people with technology. We've got all of the resources. What is God going to say when we get to heaven? Well, I know you didn't do much. You were just down there kind of cumbering the ground. He sent a rocket to the moon when I was 3 years old. I mean, we can do so much if we just put our mind to it. I am going to produce for God. We're going to make up our mind. Look at Luke chapter 19. Can I say what God does not tolerate? God does not tolerate merely maintaining. God doesn't tolerate that. He mentions it in the Bible. Luke chapter 19, verse number 12. He said, therefore, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called his 10 servants and delivered them 10 pounds and said unto them, occupy till I come. That doesn't mean fill up space and take up time. It means to do the occupation of a servant. Occupy means to do your job. Occupation. That's where it comes from. But his citizens hated him and sent a message after him saying, we will not have this man to reign over us. And it came to pass that when he was returned, having received the kingdom, then he commanded these servants to be called unto him to whom he had given the money, that he might know how much every man had gained by trading. Now, this is a picture of Jesus leaving us here and telling us, occupy till I come, going to heaven and coming back one day and requiring what he's given to us. Then came the first saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 10 pounds. And he said unto him, well, thou good servant. Because that's not a diet program, okay? That pound hath gained 10 pounds. Well, the good servant, because thou hast been faithful in a very little, have thou authority over 10 cities. And the second came, saying, Lord, thy pound hath gained 5 pounds. And he said, likewise to him be thou over five cities. And another came saying, Lord, behold, here is thy pound, which I have kept laid up in a napkin. For I feared thee because thou art an austere man. You expect the job to get done. You're a businessman. You're hard on things. You want a return. Thou takest up that thou layest not down. Thou reapest where thou didst not sow. And he said unto him, out of thine own mouth will I judge thee. Thou wicked servant, thou knewest that I was an austere man, taking up that I laid not down, and reaping that I did not sow. Wherefore then gavest not thou my money unto the bank, that at my coming I might have required mine own with usury? And said unto him that stood by, take from him the pound and give it to him that hath 10 pounds. And they said unto him, Lord, he hath 10 pounds. For I say unto you that every one that hath should be given, and from him that hath not, even that which he hath shall be taken away from him. This is the idea of the millennial reign of Christ. Listen, if you don't do anything for God today, you're not going to get any rewards for God later. If you're not busy for God today, he's not going to put you in charge of anything in the millennial kingdom. You're going to be look, they do have horses, right? We're coming back on horses. Are you listening? You're going to be the guy with the dually scooper walking around behind the horse. Not me, man. I am not. I'm going to be riding on that horse. I'm going to be over there with Jesus. I am not going to be the guy cleaning up after the horse. You can be. Not me. God requires what he gives. God does not tolerate merely maintaining. Let me give you quickly the rules of planting and watering. Number one, you always reap what you sow. You always reap what you sow. You never go out and sow beans and get peas. You never go out and sow carrots and get turnips. You always reap what you sow. Corn does not produce flowers. You always reap what you sow. Number two, you always reap where you sow. We are to be sowing. We are to sow everywhere. You reap where you sow. Number three, you always reap more than you sow. Look at Hosea chapter 8. Hosea chapter 8. Page 713, Brother Les. Hosea chapter number 8. And verse number 7. For they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. That hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If it be in yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. So the wind reaps to the whirlwind. You always reap more than you sow. You take that little package of seeds out, you sow 10 seeds of corn, you get thousands of ears of corn, don't you? Each stalk of corn produces at least 2 ears. Each ear produces hundreds of kernels of corn. You always reap more than you sow. And number four, you always reap after you sow. So what are we to do? We're to sow seed. You know, I like to think that some of the seed that we sow today, we'll be reaping when we get to heaven. I like to think that some of the work that we've done, listen, these young people, this boy getting saved today, who knows? Let's have a vision for these people. You're going to reap after you sow. You're going to sow, you're going to be in heaven, and there's going to be people. Listen, I can't tell you, Brother Cassidy, how many people I have met knocking on doors out here, and they said, hey, I got saved on one of those blue buses from Tabernacle Baptist Church that you guys bought, 10 of them at one time, and painted them with house paint. What were you thinking? And they said, I got saved riding on that bus back in the 70s, back in the 80s, whatever it was, 70s, 80s. I mean, it's incredible. Calvary Baptist Church, same thing. Brother Pratt used to drive one of those buses. I talked to him. I said, I think they were green. I can't tell you how many people told me, I got saved riding on that bus. You always reap after you sow. And I've heard plenty of people tell me, I got saved riding the Gospel Baptist Church bus. Number three. I don't know what number two was. The rules of planting and watering. Number three, the responsibility of the sower. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Where's the responsibility of the sower? I have planted, Apollos watered. God gave the increase. Here we are sowing seed. We're thinking about seed. We're talking about seed, okay? Planting seed to produce a crop. The responsibility of the sower, number one, is to prepare the soil. Ms. Smith, you like the garden. You've got to prepare the soil. You can't go out there and just put seeds on the sidewalk and say, we're going to have a great crop. You're not going to have a crop. You can't go out there. The ground is hard. You've got to break it up. You've got to till it. You've got to amend the soil. You got to go get some of that llama dew, right? Alpaca manure, right? And put that down, and man, you'll have like crops everywhere. Number one, prepare the soil. We are sowing the Word of God. Look what it says in verse number 4, Ecclesiastes chapter 11. He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You see, we must sow diligently. If we look and we say, you know what? I'm going to go out and I'm going to sow the seed of the Word of God today, but the wind is out there. The seed's going to blow away. Sow it anyway. Well, you know, there's a lot of wind blowing contrary to the Word of God today. You better sow it anyway. Well, there's a lot of clouds out there, and it looks like it's going to rain, and it looks like I'm going to get all wet. You just sow that seed anyway. You don't know. God can do something with it, but if you never sow it, God can't do anything with it. So we've got to, number one, prepare the soil. As you're sowing the Word of God, we must sow, number one, diligently. Look at verse number 6, Ecclesiastes 11. In the morning, sow thy seed, and in the evening, withhold not thine hand, for thou knowest not whether shall prosper, either this or that, and whether they both shall be alike good. How should we sow? We should sow diligently. When? In the morning. When should we sow? In the evening. When should we spread the Word of God? Tell others the Word of God. Hey, when should we give out the gospel? All the time. Diligently. We can make excuses. The person who makes excuses never reaps a crop. The person who makes excuses starves. Go out and sow the seed. I want God to receive the increase from my work. But I must sow, and I must plant, and I must water. How should we sow? Faithfully. The Bible says, be instant in season and out of season. We are to sow the seed when we feel like it, when we don't feel like it. When things are going good, when things are going bad. When we're having a good day, when we're having a bad day. Look at Isaiah chapter 32. Isaiah chapter 32, we are to sow diligently. We are to sow faithfully. Isaiah chapter 32 and verse number 20. Blessed are ye that sow beside all waters, that send forth thither the feet of the ox and the ass. We are to sow faithfully. We are to sow beside all waters. Everyone needs the Word of God. There's not a person alive that doesn't need the Word of God. There's not a person in the world anywhere that doesn't need the Word of God. We all need the Word of God. We are to sow beside all waters. Still waters, muddy waters, smelly waters, clean waters, all waters. Everyone needs the Word of God. We are to sow faithfully. Notice Psalm 126. What is the responsibility of the sower? The responsibility of the sower is to prepare the soil, to sow the Word of God diligently, to sow the Word of God faithfully, to sow the Word of God, don't miss this, compassionately. Psalm 126, verse number 5. They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. That sounds like a promise to me. God said, if you sow the seed and you have compassion, I will give you a promise. You will reap in joy. You will see something produced. You will bring your sheaves with you. But you've got to have compassion. You know, sometimes we need to water the seed of the Word of God with our tears. Proverbs 11 tells us that we should sow righteousness. Proverbs 11, verse number 18. The wicked worketh a deceitful work, but to him that soweth righteousness shall be a sure reward. The responsibility of the sower is to sow righteousness. We need to have a heart prepared to do what's right. Responsibility of the sower, prepare the soil. The responsibility of the sower, to sow righteousness. The responsibility of the sower, to provide water. Keep the seed moist. Keep the nourishment coming. How should we do that? Pray for God to bless the seed. Jude 22. Sow with tears of compassion, and of some have compassion, making a difference. Now, what are some roadblocks to sowing, fourthly? We looked at Ecclesiastes 11, verse number 4. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. Some of the roadblocks to sowing the seed of the Word of God are observing the wind. Excuses. We can give excuses. How about criticism? We get criticism for sowing the wind. You know, Jonah sowed the seed of the Word of God in a society that was wicked. And God gave the increase. Jonah didn't want to go to Nineveh. He tried to run away. The Ninevites were going to be destroyed in 40 days, and God spared them. How about this one? Fainting. Roadblocks to sowing? Fainting. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, it's easy to faint. It's easy to say, you know, what am I doing? Nobody wants to hear the Word of God. Nobody wants to live for God. We're in such a minority. Look, the bars are full tonight. The sports venues are full tonight. Where are the people who want to do right? Well, we can look at it and say, yeah, I get discouraged. Keep on going. Don't faint. Hosea chapter number 10. Jeremiah chapter 4, verse number 3 says this. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and sow not among thorns. The responsibility of the sower is to break up the fallow ground. Break up the hard ground, the ground that's been sitting all winter. You might have something in your heart that's been kind of dry and dusty and hard and a lack of compassion, maybe. It's springtime. We need to say, you know what? I am going to see God do something in my life this spring and this summer. I'm going to produce a crop for God. I'm going to break up my fallow ground. Hosea chapter 10, verse number 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness. Reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till He come and rain righteousness upon you. What are some roadblocks to sowing? Adversaries. Look to Matthew chapter 13. Jesus gave us some principles about sowing the seed, which is the Word of God. He said there are a lot of adversaries when you sow the Word of God. A lot of things would take away the Word of God. A lot of things would choke out the production of fruit. Again, written for our admonition. Matthew chapter 13, verse number 3. And He spake these things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow. And when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Look at verse 19. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which receives seed by the wayside. You know, the devil wants to destroy the seed that's being sowed. And as you're going out sowing the seed, you're telling others about Christ, you're witnessing, you're giving others the Word of God. There are adversaries. Someone said this about sowing seed. You put three seeds in every hole. One for the bird, one for the bug, and one for the table. What's going to happen? Something's going to eat that seed. Something's going to take that seed away. But if you sow enough seeds, something is going to grow. We've got a promise from the Bible. What are some roadblocks to sowing? Haggai chapter number 2. I think here may be the biggest one. Because I think we're all guilty of this one. Haggai chapter 2. Here is the question of all questions. Haggai was a post-captivity prophet. Haggai came back after the destruction of Jerusalem. He came back to help the people rebuild their lives. And he asked the question in verse number 19, is the seed yet in the barn? If America ceases to become a Christian nation, the responsibility is not on the communists. The responsibility is not on the Democrats. And I'm repeating myself. The responsibility is not on the world. The responsibility is not on the devil. The responsibility is on the Christians in America keeping the seed in the barn. The reason that America is imploding and Christianity is shrinking, and you read these polls, and less people identify as Christians every single year, and the questions are pretty broad. It's because Christians have not been sowing the seed of the Word of God. It's been staying in the barn. I'll prove it to you. You ask yourself this question. When's the last time that you witnessed to someone and gave them the gospel of Jesus Christ? The seed is still in the barn, isn't it? Oh, it's been 6 months. Oh, it's been never. Oh, it's been 5 weeks. If you did that with a crop that you were trying to produce food for your family, you would starve to death. We're doing something way more important than that. We're trying to increase the kingdom of God and see souls saved. That's why Jesus came, for the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. People die every day and they're slipping off into hell every day. And many of us in this room have kept the seed of the Word of God in our blessed barn, and there it sits, and we never open our yapper and tell anyone about Christ. But we'll spend 5 hours a day on our phone. Hello. And we'll spend 2 hours a day sending messages to people. And we'll spend every waking minute having conversations that aren't going to amount to a flip when you get to heaven. And we never tell anyone about Christ. Is God going to require our time? Every idle word. Jesus said that. He said, I'm going to require every idle. Listen, I've got lots of idle words. I've got way too many idle words. I'm embarrassed. Every idle word I will give an account for in the day of judgment. We have refined the way we do idle words. We email them. We text them. We post them here. We post them there. We post them everywhere. I mean, we've taken it to another level. And yet the seed is still in the barn. What was the problem in the day of Haggai? Well, here's the problem. Look what he said in chapter 1. Chapter number 1, verse number 4. As they come back to the temple, to rebuild the temple, they started and then they stopped. Verse 4. Is it time for you, O ye, to dwell in your sealed houses? A tiled house, a nice tile, a porcelain or a cement tile, a fancy tile. Is it time for you to dwell in your sealed houses? And this house, the house of God, lie waste. You went back with a good intention. You came back with materials. You came back with money. You came back with a bill of passage and a right to rebuild Jerusalem. And you started. And then you said, you know what? I could really have a nice house over here on the corner over there. I could really have a nice piece of property over here. And they got busy building their own house. And they stopped building God's house. You see, so many of us have got caught up in this thing of the world and getting ahead and chasing the American dream, that we forgot about the command of God to get the seed unto the world. And look, you can hire somebody to do that. I am not your hitman. I have the same Bible that you have. There's not one pastor's Bible and one layman's Bible. The poor little plebes, you know, they got a different version. Look, I can't subsidize my disobedience by supporting missionaries to bring the gospel and me not give out the gospel. Can you show me that in the Bible? We're all supposed to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, not hire somebody to be our hitman. You're supposed to do it personally. Listen, I'm up here pleading for the lost today. Our community is struggling today. Sin is 5 stars. It's everywhere. Is the seed yet in the barn? What is the responsibility of the sower? What is the roadblock to sowing? Laziness. Misplaced priorities. Our priorities are in the wrong place. Luke chapter number 8. Pleasure, self, and riches. Luke chapter 8, verse number 14. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures in this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. Everything that's vying for your attention in this world will keep you from producing the seed that God wants you to produce from the Word of God. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. God wants to give an increase, but you've got to get busy pushing down some seed for God. God wants to save souls, but you've got to witness. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. You've got to open your mouth and tell someone about Jesus and salvation. What are the riches of sowing? Back to our text in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 8. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. There's a reward. Look, we give out these little silver coins, and they're real silver, right? Well, that's worth about $100 right there. What do you think the judgment seat of Christ is going to look like? Listen. You need to visit your absentees. You know why some of you struggle with your Sunday school class? Because you never visit the people that aren't there. You never send them a text. You never give them a call. You're entitled that they should come to your class and they should be there and they should show up. And if they don't, they're just a number. Look, you watch me some Sunday morning. I walk around here and I shake everybody's hand. Everybody's hand. Now, sometimes if it's a young lady, I don't shake their hand. I just wave to them, say hi, right? I do that. I at least say hi to everybody. And I shake everybody's hand. Why? Because nobody has to come here. I realize that. Nobody has to come here. It's not an entitlement that they come here and listen to wonderful me. They don't have to come here. I'm glad that they're here. Look, James talks about it too, right? He said, listen, if you treat somebody who has a gold ring and goodly apparel, you say, oh, bless God, why don't you sit? You can have the best seat in the Baptist church in the back, right? And then somebody comes in and they smell, right? And you just kind of go over there. You know, that we are being prejudiced. Okay? It doesn't matter who somebody is. Everybody has a soul. Look, somebody told me, we had that wedding. One of the grandmothers sat up here. She said, she's from Carolina. I'm just telling you, this is a quality compliment because it comes from Carolina. She said, Pastor, I got to tell you something. You have the friendliest church I've ever been to. That was last month, right? I said, thank you. I said, we work really hard at it. She goes, well, it shows. So thank you. You're doing something right. Good. That's awesome. That's what I'd be. We're the friendliest, handshakingest bunch of nuts in town. Believe anything what they say, but boy, they sure are friendly. They're a little crazy, but they're friendly. But listen, if you get an absentee, when an absentee doesn't get visited, they become a casualty. That was good. We should write that down. Put that somewhere. When an absentee doesn't get visited, they become a casualty. Now, so I'm speaking to the cream of the crop tonight. I'm going to take you to the woodshed a little bit, okay? But it's good for you. Listen, you teach pitching, right? Guy's got a lousy form, right? He throws like me left-handed. Ugh. You don't go, hey, you're doing a great job. Keep that up. You know, we'll lose every game, right? You're like, okay. And you put your feet right here, okay? I'd love to go to one of your coaching sessions, right? Just this nice guy right here, right? Is he like that at home? Don't answer that question. Put your feet right here, okay? Now point your toes this way, okay? Point your toes this way, okay? Now, watch the catcher's mitt. Probably, right? Watch the bat, right? Watch the catcher's mitt. Watch the plate, okay? Take that ball, right? I'm just imagining, right? I haven't been to your sessions, but wind up, okay? Kick your leg, right? Throw that ball, and then follow through, okay?
Here's some guy, right? Boop. Catfish out there or something. Boop. He threw a 40-mile-an-hour fastball. Did you see it? Yeah, look, it went over 450 feet. And do you ever yell at people? And how'd your team do this year? Haven't made the playoffs in 8 years and came in, what, second? Should come in first. but you are. You're coaching people. And coach, I can't believe my coach is mean. Listen, if your coach was a marshmallow of fluff, you're going to have a little league team that bunts off a tee. Yeah. The Bad News Bears, they're running around. They got the hat over their eyes. Right? Hey, no, first base is that way. You just ran to third. What are you doing? Everybody, all the parents are like, oh, it's so cute. No, it's stupid, all right? They ran the wrong way. Okay? You got to run the right way. You got to hit the ball. You got to run the right way. So listen, every once in a while, we say, hey, visit your absentees. Oh, pastor doesn't love me. No. You know what? He loves those people. And if you're in the way and you're a roadblock to those people, I'm going to ring your bell. Because I love those people too. And more than that, Jesus loves those people. All right? So don't stop visiting your absentees just because you won a contest or you lost the contest, because there's more of this at the judgment seat of Christ, and that's what really matters. Number two. Number one, the riches of sowing rewards. Number two, results. Psalm 126, we read it. Number three, let me just give you this last point. We could look at so many things, right? It's late. 2 Corinthians 9, verse number 10. Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. So he said, I'm going to give you a reward for sowing. And huh? Thank you. 9, verse number 10. As it is written, he had dispersed abroad, he had given to the poor. No, wrong verse. Verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food and multiply your seed sown and increase the fruits of your righteousness. Okay? Seed is given to the sower. If you sow the seed of the word of God, God said you will reap some of the benefit of that seed. You will eat the seed of the sower. You know what that is? When you sow the seed of the word of God, God gives you thoughts from his word. Seed to the sower. God gives you blessings from his word. Seed to the sower. God gives you more than you sowed. He gives you an abundance. Lastly, the resources available to the sower. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 9, we are laborers together with God. You know, when you and I get to yoke up with God, isn't it a wonderful thing? We get to labor together with God. God is our partner. God's your partner. Make your plans big. The resources available to the sower, Matthew 28, 19 and 20, Jesus said, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. We provide the go. God provides the low. Look at one last verse. Acts chapter 1. Unless you're not listening, then we'll go to the next part of the Bible study, okay? Acts chapter number 1. And verse number 8. The resources available to the sower, we are laborers together with God. And then Acts 1, verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. The power of the Holy Ghost of God goes with us when we sow the seed. We don't do it in our own power. We get frustrated in our own power. When we sow the seed, guess what? God says, I'll give you my power.